Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Walcha, and today we're going to be studying the 19th parak of Mishlei, Parak Yates. The first few pasukim that we're going to read are about the way that society relates to wealth and to wealthy people. So pasuk dalet, Hoyn Yosef Reim Rabim, wealth makes many friends, v'dol mere'ehu yiparid, but the impoverished person, the poor person, is separated, he's abandoned by his acquaintances. For some very inexplicable reason, people seek out friendship with wealthy people. There's a famous cynical line that when there's a will, there's a relative. But this is not genuine friendship. Says the Malbim, these are not friends of the wealthy person, but Hoin Yosef Reim Rabim. Wealth makes many friends. They're friends of the wealth. They swoon over the money, not the person. And unfortunately, the other side of the coin is that when somebody loses their money, they also lose their friends. Because this was a self-serving friendship, it was conditional friendship, there was an agenda. The Malbim says that perhaps he was hoping to gain something by being friends with this wealthy person, and then once the money's gone, then they no longer have any interest in the friendship either. And then in Pasuk Vav, Rabim Yechalu Fnei Nadiv, many will court the presence of a patron, many seek an audience with a generous man. V'chol Horea Le'ishmaton, and everyone is friendly to a man of gifts, someone who's known to give gifts. And many of the Mefarshim understand this pasuk to be talking about the value of generosity, that generous people are likable and popular, and that's why they have a lot of friends. People seek the presence of a generous person. But the Malbim explains this as a continuation of the theme that we read in Pasuk Dalet, and he says again, this is all about ulterior motives in friendship. In Pasuk Dalet, we were talking about people wanting to become friends with the wealthy man, and here it's a similar idea. We're talking about people wanting to become friends with the generous man. Everyone's friends with the Ishmatan. They all want to be connected to him. But it's not sincere. It's not true friendship. It's transactional. They're all looking to benefit from the relationship. They all want to see what they can get from him. It's like a superficial friendship of self-interest. And this obviously gives us something to think about when we evaluate our friendships. You know, to what extent are they self-serving? To what extent are they selfless? Are we just looking to get, or are we also looking to give something, to contribute something to a friendship? You know, we don't want to reduce people to their usefulness. We don't just want to call them when we need them. We don't want to be that person that when they see our name come up on caller ID, it's like, are they doing a charity campaign or do they need something else from me? And then this theme of the way society relates to other people based on their wealth continues in Pasuk Zayin. Ko achei rosh sneuhu. All the brothers of the pauper hate him. Surely his friends withdraw from him. Friends and relatives and even the brothers of the poor people, says this pasuk, dislike him. They distance themselves from him. They disengage from him. And the pasuk concludes, Meradef amarim loyhema. Though he pursues them with words, the words remain his. Meaning, no matter how hard he tries to reach out to them, he's not successful. People distance themselves from poor people. Even friends, even relatives, even brothers of poor people distance themselves from him. It's an observation of what happens in society. However, the Medrash in Shemais Rabbah says that this is in complete contrast to the way Hashem relates to the poor. When a human being has a poor relative, he doesn't want to acknowledge him. He avoids him. He doesn't want to speak to him. Maybe he's embarrassed of him. Maybe he's worried he's going to ask him for money and he'll have to take responsibility for him. Maybe he's worried that poverty is contagious. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, he cleaves to the Aniyim. They are his people. The Medrash tells us that when the Torah tells us to lend money to poor people, it says, "In kesef talveh es ami," if you lend money to my people, to my nation, the way Hashem references poor people is my nation. I love them. I keep them near me, says the Medrash. Hashem has particular concern for poor people, and he's especially close to them. And understanding how Hashem loves Aniyim, poor people, this should reframe our understanding of what it means to help them. So let's read more about this in Pasuk Yod Zayin of our Perek. Malvei Hashem chaynein dal. He that gives graciously to the poor makes a loan to Hashem, ugmula yishalem loy, and that which he has given, he will pay him back. Meaning, when someone cares for the poor and gives him tzedakah, it's considered as though he is lending money to Hashem. Malveh Hashem chaynein dal, and Hashem will ultimately pay him back. The Ralbag on this pasuk says that Hashem is maspia l'chol chai rotzon. He satisfies every living thing. It's Hashem's responsibility to sustain every living thing. So if you step in to help sustain somebody, then you're doing Hashem's job. You're helping out Hashem, so to speak. So this tzedakah money that you give somebody else is considered a loan to Hashem. And as the pasuk concludes, Ugmuloi yeshalim loy. Hashem pays him back the value of the loan, and he also pays him back with interest, says the Ralbag. He gives him more money to repay him or to thank him for the fact that he loaned Hashem money. You get your money back with interest. So not only do you not lose out by giving tzedakah, but you're repaid with extra blessing. The Malbim reads this pasuk completely differently, but with the exact same implication. He says that Hashem only gives you everything that you have as a loan. Malve Hashem, Hashem lends you, so that you can give to a poor person. And in this way, by giving the poor person money, you're repaying your loan to Hashem. Ugmulo yeshalem loy. You are paying back your loan to Hashem. Meaning everything that we have been blessed with is not actually our money. It's a loan that's been given to us in order so that we can help other people. So the two different ways of reading this pasuk according to either the Ralbag or to the Malbim are either Malve Hashem Choynein Dal, that when you help a poor person, you're actually lending money to Hashem, you're doing His work by supporting the poor, or Malve Hashem, Hashem lends you, so that you can support the poor, and everything that you have was only given to you so that you could give tzedakah. And both of these approaches fit with the dialogue between the Rosh Hashanah Rufus and Rabbi Akiva and Baba Basra, and they also fit with the Medrash that we just learned about Hashem loving the poor. The Gemara says that Tarnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, he said, if Hashem loves poor people so much, like we read in the Medrash, so why did He make them poor? He could have just given them money and then they wouldn't be poor. Why did He have to put them in this situation? And Rabbi Akiva answered, He did this because we need the merit of giving tzedakah. We need to be able to give tzedakah so that we can be saved from Gehenna. Of course Hashem could have created a totally equal society where nobody needs tzedakah. But we need there to be inequality and poverty so that we can give. He gave us the opportunity to be partners in His work. And He loaned us money so that we should be able to save ourselves with the merit of tzedakah. Tzedakah is an opportunity, it's not a burden. It's for us, it's not about the people to whom we are giving. Of course Hashem could take care of them, but He wanted to give us the opportunity to help out. And this is exactly what Mordechai said to Esther when her moment came to rescue the Jewish people. He said, "Im hacharesh techarishi ba'es hahi, revach v'hatzala ya'amoid la'yehudim imkoyim archer." If you want to stay silent at this moment and you don't want to step in, the Jewish people will be saved. Hashem has many ways in which He can save the Jewish people. But at uveisavich yodeidun, you will lose out. Your family will lose out. You won't have the opportunity to be able to help out. And maybe this is the entire reason that you were put in this position where you were able to help, because you need to help, because we need to help for our own sakes, not for the person who needs the help. The Jewish people, says Mordechai, will be spared either way, but this is your opportunity to be a part of it. They don't need you. Hashem has many ways in which He could help them, but you need them, because without this, you will be lost. And let's end this section on this sub-theme with an amazing story in the Yalkut Shimonion Rus. And this has actually been made into a magnificent children's book called A Thread of Kindness by Leah Pearl Scholler, about a very poor family, where one day this very poor man of the house, he was plowing in his field, and he met Eliyahu HaNavi, who was described as an Arab. And Eliyahu HaNavi approached him and he said, "You're going to have 6 years of abundance. For 6 years, you're going to be very wealthy. Do you want to have those 6 years now, or do you want to have them later in your life?" And he said, "Let me ask my wife." So he went home and he asked his wife, he told his wife the story. He said, "Do we want the 6 years now, or do we want the 6 years of abundance later?" And she said, "Let's have them now." He goes back, he tells Eliyahu HaNavi, "My wife said, let's have them now." Later that day, his son is playing outside and he comes across an enormous treasure. And the wife's response to finding this enormous treasure is, Hashem has given us a chut shel chesed. Hashem has given us a thread of kindness. And we're just going to have this thread of kindness for 6 years. So if we use this wealth and this abundance during these 6 years to renovate our home and go on trips abroad and upgrade our cars and buy branded clothing so we'll enjoy it for 6 years. But at the end of the 6 years, it's going to be gone. But if we use it to do chesed, then we can hope that Hashem will extend this thread of kindness. And that's what this family did. For 6 years, they took every opportunity to give, to help orphans, to help widows, to help poor children. And ultimately, the 6 years came to an end. And the man was working in his field again one day after 6 years. This time he had fancy machinery doing his work for him. And he met Eliyahu HaNavi again. And Eliyahu HaNavi told him, the 6 years are up, it's time to return the treasure. So the man said, I asked my wife before receiving the treasure, I'm going to ask my wife before returning the treasure. So he went back to his wife and he told her, he had met Eliyahu HaNavi, it's time to give the treasure back. And his wife said, look at what we've done with the money. Look at how many people we have helped. Look at how many widows and orphans we've supported. Look at how many families we've helped out. If you can find another family that will use the money as well as we used it, please take it from us and give it to them. And the Medrash concludes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard their words and he saw their chesed, v'hoisif lahem toiva al toiva. He just gave them more and more blessing. When we do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work, he repays us with more and more blessing. Ugmula yeshalem loy. And now we're going to learn one more pasuk in this parak with a completely different theme, and that's pasuk kaf beis. Tavas adam chastoy. The attraction of man is his kindness. According to Rashi, that means that the main reason why people are attracted to someone is because of chastoy, because of his kindness. His kindness is what makes him attractive. Tavas adam chastoy. And the second half of the pasuk reads, V'tov rosh me'ish kazov, but a poor man is better than a liar. So according to the Mitzvah, this means that whilst we're attracted to kind people, if they promise kindness and then they don't deliver, then a poor man who doesn't promise anything is better than him. Someone who can't promise you anything, he's preferable to someone who promises the earth and then lets you down. And I think we all have experience with this, and we all try to not be the person who promises and lets down. We all try to not be the ish kazov, the one who lets you down. The ishbitzer, the me'ah shiloach, he has a totally different approach to this pasuk. We generally associate the term taiva as being something negative, desire, lust, craving for materialism. We think of taiva as a force of the yetzahara. But the me'ah shiloach says that taiva is actually a very positive thing. It's a chesed from Hashem. Taivas adam chastoi. The desire of man is his kindness, his as in it's Hashem's kindness. Taiva is a chesed from Hashem, we read in this pasuk. It's an enormously powerful force. And he explains that desire and passion is an inner energy that can ultimately be used for something so holy. Flat people who don't have strong, passionate feelings, they also don't have strong, passionate feelings for good. They don't have ambition to do amazing things either. So whilst taiva is not without its challenges, it's also an incredible force for good. And he quotes the famous chazal, Kol ha-gadol mechaveiro yitzro gadol mimeno, that whoever's greater than his friend, he also has a stronger yitzahara. Greater people have stronger yitzaharas. Great people who have incredible potential for incredible things, they also have very, very powerful pulls in the other direction. But realize, he says, that this is evidence of enormous spiritual potential. Taivas adam chastoi. It's Hashem's kindness that he has this craving, this desire, this passion. However, if you misuse this gift of passion, you misuse this potentially positive, powerful tool of taiva for something negative, then you're an ish kazav. You're corrupt. You've corrupted or you've misused this possibility for greatness. You've corrupted this divine gift of desire. And in that case, concludes the pasuk, V'tov rosh me'ish kazav. It's better to be a poor man who doesn't have strong feelings of temptation than an ish kazav who has this powerful gift, but he corrupts it and he misuses it. So the takeaway from this is not to be disheartened by a very strong yetzahara, neither when it's in ourselves or when we observe it in somebody else, whether it's a relative, a student, or a child. This powerful yetzahara, this taiva, it's chastoi, it's a gift, it's Hashem's chesed. It's a sign of enormous potential and it's a tool for massive transformation. And it's just a little bit tricky to figure out how it can be channeled for amazing things. Thank you for studying together for a merit for a refuah shleima for your Nina Zimmer Bas Daphne Hinder and for all the wounded members of Tzahal amongst all those who are ill amongst Klal Yisrael. Sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.